This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Well, good evening. The trials of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We're going to talk about that in this entire hour.
Let's be nice because we have to drive home, too, and there's sheriffs between here and there. So let's be really nice.
I'm always nice. We have two of the most knowledgeable guests you could imagine to talk on this subject. Rick Romney was county attorney from 1989 to 2004, the last 4 years of which his term overlapped Sheriff Joe Arpaio's term. They were, in effect, the two leading law enforcement officials in the county collectively for that last 4 years. Paul Charlton was former U.S. attorney for the state of Arizona. That's a federal job. And the significance is that if the judge in the current case, Maury Snow, makes a criminal referral for contempt, then it is the U.S. attorney's office, that very same office, that will handle that prosecution. Is that a fair statement?
Correct. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with you, Rick. Joe Arpaio is in federal court, and take us back. Let's kind of wipe this. How did he get there, and what is this about?
Wow, it goes back a number of years. First of all, I served actually with Joe Arpaio, him being sheriff, for 12 years, not just the last four. And Joe Arpaio really began to take on the issue of immigration when Andy Thomas came in after I left office. And I left in the beginning of 2005.
I remember that in his initial campaign, that didn't figure. That wasn't on the horizon.
In fact, he argued. He made the comments that, look, I am not going to spend my time going after people that mow the lawns and trim the trees. I've got much bigger fish that need to be taken down and be dealt with.
I can almost remember the tipping point. It was when they arrested an individual by the name of Patrick Hobb.
That's right.
In 2006, who held a group of people who had entered the country unlawfully, held them at gunpoint. Joe Arpaio's deputies drove up on that event, and Joe Arpaio very clearly said, it's wrong to hold people at gunpoint. I want Patrick Hobb charged with assault. We can't have people arresting illegal aliens on their own. Andrew Thomas took a much different position. And when
Andrew Thomas, let me just break in. Andrew Thomas was county attorney at that time.
He was, and had run, as you pointed out, on the grounds of stopping illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Joe Arpaio, you could almost visibly see the light bulb go off over his head when he saw the public support for that kind of position. Patrick Hobb was a hero.
That's exactly right. And here's some inside stories that most people don't know, is that right after that incident, and Joe Arpaio had come out and said, look, this is improper, you shouldn't be doing this, the Consul General of Mexico invited both myself and Joe Arpaio to some special event. I can't remember exactly what it was. Joe and I talked, and the Consul General made a very specific point of thanking Joe Arpaio for, his reasonableness in this area. But like Paul said, the light bulb went off when he saw the public support switch the other way, and it was a 180-degree turn. Literally overnight.
And we should be careful, too, I think, when we describe that public support. It's not everybody in this county
that
believes it's appropriate.
But it's a lot.
It is a large, vocal, and almost with a kind of religious fervor. Mm-hmm. People who are willing to ignore all sorts of other wrongs that Joe Arpaio has clearly been involved in order to support an individual who will, he says, go after illegal immigration.
Is it the majority or is it just the vocal portion?
It turns out to be the majority of people who vote, clearly.
Okay.
Time after time.
Of who vote.
Right.
Of who vote.
Right.
That's correct.
But that's an important distinction.
And in Sun City, that is a strong base for Joe Arpaio. Mm-hmm. They are very strong in support of Joe Arpaio in this particular position. They come out 80-90% to vote every primary election.
That's a very compelling argument, though, when some say, well, that's illegal. Because to be on the other side, it's almost like you have to be in favor of illegality.
That's right.
It's a very simple but a very potent argument.
That's right.
Enforce the law.
Right, it is.
Nobody is above the law.
That's exactly right. And in a time when there were very aggressive newspaper reporters and newspapers that were doing well. You'll remember that the Tribune did a Pulitzer Prize-winning series of articles about the fact that Joe Arpaio, in order to dedicate resources to go after these misdemeanants, now remember, these are misdemeanor offenses, in order to go after these misdemeanants, Joe Arpaio was ignoring rape and child sex abuse cases. He was ignoring going after the thousands of fugitives who are still running around the state in order to satisfy this group of very vocal individuals. Now, if you're a law enforcement leader,
yes,
and you're attempting to and want to dedicate resources to those cases that deserve your attention, I think most reasonable people would agree we're going to go after felons. We're going to go after people who are harming women and children. And then if we have time, we can go after people who are committing misdemeanors. But Joe Arpaio turned that upside down, and there is a very vocal group of individuals who continually vote that see that as the correct way to dedicate resources.
Because the misdemeanors were low-hanging fruit, essentially. Just go get them quick, pick them off, get the publicity, and move forward.
It satisfied a certain group of individuals.
My guess is most people don't really understand the trade-offs. They don't really believe that the cost of devoting resources in that direction is allowing felons to walk the streets.
I don't know, Michael. I mean, to me, it's so easily understood that when a child is being raped, you know, how wrong is that? There's very few priorities that should be higher than going after those individuals. Mm-hmm. And to ignore that, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, what's kind of an interesting irony, I guess, is that, you know, one of the strongest bases of support is a Sun City, as I've mentioned before, and very conservative, very anti-tax. They watch their dollars. And yet the amount of money that has been spent on all the lawsuits and all of the different issues that have come up under Joe Arpaio's tenure, that they just ignore that, that it does not matter. And I'm not – I don't think to this day, and I think I follow this pretty closely like Paul has, you know, we've lived our careers trying to understand the situation. I'm not sure to this day that I understand what it is intrinsically that has the people so adoring of Joe Arpaio. I'm not sure I understand.
Well,
if we could, we got to take a quick break, and I want to come back to that because I have a few questions about that from some insiders here as to when he went from sheriff to media darling and how that evolution took place, when it took place, and what the difference has become in his performance. More on The Think Tank next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we're talking to Rick Romley, former county attorney, Paul Sharton, former U.S. attorney, and the subject was Joe Arpaio and the basis of his appeal. What is it?
I'm leaving that to you, Paul. I've already gone on record. I don't understand it. I really don't. After all the things that have come out, it's just been, you know, he's very affable, friendly when you talk with him. But my gosh, the some of the horror stories. I mean, when a child gets raped and it's not followed on by an agency and it's systematic, something's wrong.
Let me venture a theory and have you respond to
okay.
it. Okay. The immigration issue became ascendant when the economy tanked. People feel their jobs threatened. They feel their wages threatened, their lifestyle, and there's a convenient target. And somehow the notion develops, if we could only stop immigration, then all our jobs will come back and we'll all be affluent.
Well, I'd put a finer point on that. You know, we were talking about the ascendancy is a good word for this with Andrew Thomas, the former county attorney, now disbarred county attorney, and Joe Arpaio on the issue of illegal immigration. That was in 2005, 2006. The economy was doing pretty well at that point in time. What I'd suggest is you have to look at the demographic of those individuals who are supporting Joe Arpaio. They look very much like all of us do here in this room right now. White Anglo-Saxon individuals, European background. The world is changing. Many people don't like change. There are a number of people who are coming to this country whose first language is Spanish. People fear change. I understand that. I know what that means. I'm in that same demographic.
And we've got a history of that dates back to Ben Franklin railing about the Germans.
Precisely. And whether or not we were going to have a bilingual country at that point in time, German and English.
Yeah.
So now we have had many laws that talk about the fact that we should be an English-only speaking country. And then comes Andrew Thomas, who says we've got to put a stop on that. There's a demographic out there that embraced that, that thought that that was true, that thought that there has to be a way to stop this change, and maybe this is a way to do that. That's my opinion. That's why this certain group of individuals embrace this so wholeheartedly. I understand people don't like change. I understand why that is. I don't necessarily think it's racism as much as it is a kind of xenophobia, a kind of fear of something foreign. But it's not foreign. It's the Southwest. It's who we are here. And as Americans, we do not look at skin color. We don't stop people in their vehicles because of skin color. We don't violate their rights because of skin color. And we now have a United States District Court judge appointed by President Bush who has found, as a matter of law, that Joe Arpaio violated the rights of individuals based on their race. That's wrong.
And that produced the court order that he's accused of not following right now. Is that
right?
I wanted us to move to the current trial and what is it really about?
But real quick, you go back to that. I mean, we're talking about his rise in popularity and why he appeals to the masses as he does. In the majority of his campaign dollars come from outside of these borders. Thank you, Fox News, I would say. But I think it's not just immigration. How much does the tent cities, the pink underwear, how much does any of that play into it? Is it all immigration, or does the tough sheriff kind of fall into that as well?
So you go back to that 2006 event in the arrest of Patrick Hobb. I was the U.S. attorney then, and I remember Joe Arpaio before that time and place being an individual who did all of those things you just described. Like, he had the pink underwear, he had tent city. You always knew that when you were dealing with him, there was a kind of publicity aspect, but he still had deputies assigned to the anti-terrorism task force. He had deputies assigned to the narcotics group. He had deputies that were searching for fugitives. And his priorities were what I thought to be and viewed as the correct priorities for the chief of a law enforcement agent in this county. Mm-hmm. That changed. So we have to understand that there was an individual who was once, with good and honest disagreements with the former county attorney, not always doing the job in the right way, but he had a break. He had a stop. He had someone who would tell him, Joe, that's wrong. That was Rick Romley. When Andrew Thomas came into office, that no longer happened. He was encouraged. He was facilitated. They became kind of hand in glove, this group of individuals who were willing to violate not just individuals' rights based on race, the rights of individuals like Judge Donahoe. Judge Donahoe, the sitting criminal chief judge.
Tell the story on what happened there.
Judge Donahoe was the chief criminal judge for Maricopa County. He was and is a respected jurist and respected lawyer, and was arrested by Andrew Thomas at Joe Arpaio's request because they feared, so says the public record, that Judge Donahoe was going to make a ruling about which they disagreed. The charges were wholly unfounded, and now we, the taxpayers, have paid Judge Donahoe for that violation of Judge Donahoe's civil rights, the right to work without having to go to work and fear arrest. Can you imagine? It almost sounds like a third world country, but that's the kind of environment we were living in.
I think that's a phenomenon, too, that I think baffles most people. There's a judgment basically against a county attorney and a sheriff, and it's paid for by the public. Because of civil immunity.
Well, boy, we've touched onto an area that I perhaps have a little bit of unique insight in, because I was appointed as the interim county attorney when Thomas left the office and was running for attorney general. And I came privy to some very – it was confidential at the time, but it's become, you know, public at this point in time. As Paul has pointed out, there truly was evidence that the purpose behind the arrest of Judge Donahoe was the fact that they felt that the judge was going to be ruling against them. They thought that this judge was biased against them and that they were not getting a fair shake. You know, regardless of our justice system, I mean, if you disagree with a judge's ruling, you get ruled against, there's a remedy. You appeal it. You take it to a different court. And then if you don't agree with that one, we have the highest court, which is the Supreme Court. Yet he didn't choose that. He chose to move forward with the intimidation, the threats, as we saw with a number of individuals. I mean, county officials and so forth. They were being threatened, you know, in many a context. So it was very troubling in that context. I forgot your question, Mike. I'm sorry. I had to digress a little bit.
We talked
because
about
it was a very difficult time.
Civil immunity.
Yes.
And I understand the reason for it, but I think it's something that, you know, sticks in people's craw. You have an elected official that does something, as long as it's not, if I understand it, as long as it doesn't cross the line into criminality.
That's correct.
Elected official does something wrong, there's a judgment against them, the public pays, they don't.
Generally so. You know, as you said, that there is a line that if it goes outside of the course and scope of their work, it moves towards criminality, for example, then the taxpayers do not have to pay.
For example, in the current case, I believe that the judge has made it clear that if this gets referred as a criminal case, then the judge is interested in having some sanction that is not. Payable by a third party.
Right. Judge Snow, you mean, in federal court that's currently going on right now. That's absolutely correct. But otherwise, you know, employees are generally covered, you know, through indemnification by the county themselves. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's an obligation, you know, to be covered because, you know, people disagree with decisions they may make. They may be making bad decisions. They may be making poor decisions. But generally, you know, governmental entities do cover their employees.
And there's a reason.
And there's a good logical reason for that.
Rick Romley and Paul Charton join us. And we promise, we've been dancing around this trial enough. Doggone it. Let's get to the current trial of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, what it means to you, the taxpayers, the state, and Sheriff Joe himself next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we promise to be a little more focused this time. Specifically, Joe Arpaio is in federal court for contempt. Paul Charlton, you were U.S. attorney. Tell us what exactly brought him there and what has transpired in court, and how does it look like it's going to you?
Perhaps the easiest way to think about this is divided into two pieces. The first is the reason he's there. He's there because a group of individuals, American citizens of Hispanic background, sued him along with the ACLU because they had been detained because of their skin color. And the judge so found. That's a violation of their civil rights. It's a violation of our Constitution. That's the first part. There has been that finding. The judge said then, I want you to remedy this situation, Joe Arpaio. I want you to
put
stop
a time
doing
frame
so.
On that. When did this
is about 2 years ago two now that ago. This ruling came down. The judge said, I want you to stop violating the rights of American citizens. A very reasonable request. And in order to do that, you need to turn over certain documents. You need to show that you're complying with my order. Joe Arpaio failed to comply with the judge's orders. That is called contempt. That's the second piece.
And he pretty much hasn't contested that, if I understand the way their trial is going.
In what you could consider a tactically sound move, his lawyer said, Your Honor, you're right. We should have done a better job. We violated the court order. But here's what we'd like you, that Joe Arpaio's lawyer said, to find, Judge, that it was only civil contempt. Fine us. Tell us not to do it again. Give us a severe finger wagging. But please, Judge, don't find that we willfully violated your order, because if you find willful violation, that's criminal contempt.
And that's my layman's understanding of it. If you didn't do it, but it was oops, it was a mistake, that's civil contempt. If it was on purpose, that's criminal. Is that a fair statement?
It is. And therein you see the sort of binary personality of Joe Arpaio. Publicly a man in control, publicly a man who tells his troops what to do, publicly an individual who directs everyone with great certainty on the stand and in depositions, a man who defers judgment to everyone, who really has no idea what's going on below him, says under oath that it's his subordinates who are in charge of making sure that these orders get put in place, and that is his defense. It's been his defense. That's why he says, I ought not to be referred for criminal prosecution, because, gee whiz, got a lot of people working underneath me. I tell them to follow the law. If they don't, Judge,
that's them.
You
got
to look to them.
That's them. So, and he's had a lot of people testifying against him who formerly worked for him.
He's had a great number of individuals testify, and the judge now has to make a decision based upon what the case law essentially says is probable cause. Do I, as Judge Snow, believe that there's probable cause to believe that Joe Arpaio willfully violated my order? And if so, I'm going to refer this to the United States Attorney, John Leonardo, and I'm going to invite Judge Leonardo to prosecute Joe Arpaio. That's where we are now. That's what these proceedings are all about. Is there a willful violation of my
order. I don't
want
to paint over that they're former employees testifying against Sheriff Joe. I don't want to paint over that. Is this a CYA move? Are they covering their own backs on this? Or was there a deal made? Or were they just lining up to say, please pick us, we have to tell the story?
It is true that there are former employees. There are current employees who are doing the same. There was a sergeant who was currently a sergeant in the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, who said he had a very clear phone call with the sheriff in which he said, I have a group of individuals here unlawfully in the country. I'm going to release them. And Joe Arpaio told him in no uncertain terms, do not. The deputy, the sergeant, told the sheriff, that's an unlawful order and I will not comply. Current sergeant. Now, there's also evidence that doesn't forget and doesn't lie, and that's the paper evidence. That's this odd and strange, and there's no other way to describe this, investigation by a man named Montgomery, not our county attorney Montgomery, another individual named Montgomery, who claimed to have CIA documents that showed that Judge Snow was working hand in glove with the Department of Justice, that they had a wiretap up on Joe Arpaio, all of which has been proven to be false, all of which Joe Arpaio now says is false. But at one point in time, it appears, may have been believed to have been genuine and authentic, and Judge Snow has been asking questions about that peculiar aspect of that investigation as well.
And what makes that so interesting is the overlapping, is that the hearings going on whether or not Joe Arpaio had violated the civil rights of the Latinos was that he started up this investigation while Snow was presiding over these.
And that strikes me as a no-no. You don't do that.
You don't. And quite frankly,
I mean, if it were true, if there were something going on, wouldn't you refer that to an external?
You would give it to an external.
Yeah.
But, you know, those of us that are a bit skeptical, I mean, I'm one, you wonder if it wasn't almost purposeful. That it was done with the idea to potentially get the judge off the case.
Sure. I'm saying he did this, and even though it's that I went after him, then he goes and says, well, obviously, Judge, you can't be impartial because I did all this stuff to investigate.
That's exactly right.
So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss this aspect of what's been proceeding for the last many years now.
Yeah.
Let's remember we just talked about Judge Donahoe, the undisputed fact that this was an innocent man wrongly charged with a crime, that we now have a finding by a United States District Court judge, a Republican and conservative, who found that Joe Arpaio violated systematically the rights of American citizens. And now we have a head of a law enforcement agency who said, I was in contempt, Your Honor, just not criminal contempt. And now we have a hearing to determine whether he criminally violated a judge's order. Where is the Republican leadership through all of this? Why hasn't the Republican governor of our state said Joe Arpaio needs to stand down? Why hasn't the chief law enforcement officer for our state, Attorney General, and my friend Mark Brenovich stood up and said Joe Arpaio needs to stand down? Why hasn't Bill Montgomery, the Republican and county attorney, stood up and said Joe Arpaio needs to stand down? These are systematic, undisputed facts. Why hasn't that happened?
That is the question that really needs to be asked.
Well, I think
it's such a simple answer.
It's a simple answer.
It's politics.
You'd have to go against your base. You would have to go against those people that are going to vote for you next time around.
True leaders. I've always said that the true leaders are the ones that must be willing to lose the job if you're going to be doing it right.
Okay.
And quite frankly, we talk about our principles. We're both proud Republicans. We believe in the principles of our party. But, you know, if we really do, then we should be speaking out against this, and we don't have it. Quite frankly, my friend Paul Charlton has been one of the few that have been willing to raise these types of issues. And I'm very proud to call him my friend for that. But there's very few others. Mm. They're afraid. Quite frankly, afraid.
Yeah.
Well, that's no excuse. You know, if this nation is to survive, we must have greater strength by those that really believe in these types of principles. I have seen none, quite frankly.
What is the maxim that all that's necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Wow.
That's really the question.
That's a damning indictment.
You know,
the system, the process, and the people in it.
Well, Judge Snow, to his credit, has been very, very strong with the personal challenges that he's had. I mean, he is a star in many ways. You know, in the end, my particular opinion is that the arguments that have been made by the sheriff's office have been contradictory, incredulous, My prediction is that the judge will hold him. Will refer this for a potential criminal
conviction. He can't convict. He can only refer.
He can only refer. But that's just my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there every day. I will be the very first, and I'm going to go out on a limb to say that. Mm-hmm. With that said, then it has to move into a different system and be moving forward.
Paul,
But after that, then if that referral is made, then you need to be asking. And this is where the media does play a role. They need to be going and talking to the leadership of this state and saying, where are you?
Sure.
And, what are you going to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask you, Paul, if there is a federal referral, criminal contempt referral, what kind of timeline are we looking at? This seems to have dragged out for years. I've understood it might go quicker if there is.
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer, a solid answer, one that I can give you a firm date on. But you said that this is a legitimate critique of the system and the players who are in it. We have in the United States, for all of its many faults, the greatest criminal justice system in the world. And there will be justice at the end of the day. I am satisfied that there will be. There is a district court judge who's already started does down that process. So I'm certain that if it doesn't happen quickly, it will at least happen at the end of the day, and we will see this issue resolved. And history will judge then how people reacted and why it is it took so long.
In just a few seconds here, Rick Romley, I'm going to ask you, how do you see this playing out? How do you see it ending?
As I indicated, just all that I do know, I do believe that there will be a referral for potential criminal charges.
All right.
At that time, if there is, I think it will take some time for this thing to be resolved. I think it will. I think that there is a possibility that a deal may be made to he leave office. I know that there's been thoughts of that. I've heard that from inside, but I think it's going to be a tough battle. It'll be slogged through the system. But Paul's right. In the end, history will judge everybody in Arizona for how they conducted themselves during this very difficult time in my mind.
Rick Romley, Paul Charlton, thank you both so much for joining us. Give us an insight on Sheriff Joe, some fun stories as well. We need you back for those stories because I know there's
I've got a lot of stories.
There's a lot more stories coming out. We'd love to have you back, and especially as this starts to conclude and starts to wind down or we get to a referral, we'd love to have you guys back. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Doc and I are going to wrap a big fat bow around this one when we get back on the Think Tank.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
We just bring the wood on the Think Tank. We do. We bring the best guests. We bring the most qualified people in the world. And I'll give a big tip of the hat to Doc. Doc usually sets up a lot of that stuff. Let me tell you something. Rick Romley, former county attorney, and Paul Charlton. We got the name right, finally.
Let me tell you a little bit about his history. He was U.S.
Which one?
Paul Charlton.
Okay.
Was U.S. attorney appointed by President Bush. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was in the top third amongst our 93 U.S. attorneys, top third in number of convictions, had the top five highest number of immigration-related prosecutions, among the top 20 offices for drug prosecutions. It goes on and on and on, rated very highly. So, of course, in 2006, here's the punchline. In 2006, he's fired.
Okay, listen to me. I'm not worried about him being fired, not fired. The guy's he's fine. He's going to land. That's smart. That awesome. He's good.
He's fired. He wouldn't play politics.
So here's the deal, though. Let me say this. This is a conservative guy appointed by a conservative president, leading in prosecutions. His numbers are through the roof. And if you missed the first part of the show, I want you to go back. I'm going to guide you to the podcast on KTR.com and
MikeOneal.org.
Thank you, MikeOneal.org.
Click on radio.
As well.
Yeah,
and go back to the podcast and see what his feelings on Sheriff Joe. It'll surprise you.
Yeah.
It'll surprise you coming from such a conservative person that has basically been to battle with.
Then that's the answer to this sort of liberal. Everybody involved in here is a Judge Snow is a Bush appointee.
Yeah.
Rick Romney was elected for 20 years as Republican county attorney. Paul Charlton was a Bush appointee to U.S. attorney. You know, they're all conservative Republicans. I think the difference is these guys are straight down the line, law and order, play everything plays straight. And I think that's why Charlton got fired. He wouldn't play politics.
I just met them. Okay. I had just met them. So I had no preconceived notions. I don't know them very well, but the 45 minutes I spent with them. So I can say this. If one of them ran for office, it's a politician. So I would say the honesty that we heard were from two people that don't have to run for office. Two people that say the law is the law, period. I'm not running for office, because we challenged those Republican lawmakers here in the state during this show. And once again, if you missed it, I'll refer you back to the podcast, because we challenged the Republican lawmakers. Why aren't you stepping up when one of your own is breaking the law? Why are you not calling for the resignation? If you're a governor who's talking about fiscal conservancy, right?
Yep.
And if you are going to be a good steward with taxpayer dollars here in the state, why are you not screaming and hollering and saying, this guy's just cost us too much money?
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care if he's guilty or not. I need him to step. He needs to retire. He's costing us too much money.
It's a minimum of $60 million.
Oh, it's just insane. I heard around 80. It's unbelievable.
And the reason you get squishiness in the numbers is there's a lot of stuff that's off budget that doesn't count. None of those count the time of officials who are on salary.
Right.
That's just external money that's paid in damages and outside lawyers. By the way, I wanted to tell a little story about, you know, you got it right on the head when you asked the question, well, why aren't they going after him? It's because Joe Arpaio has a visceral, strong base of support. It might not be 50% anymore, but it's in the 40s, and those people feel strongly.
Right.
And they donate money, and they get whooped up, and they vote in. And then not only vote, they vote in primaries. But, you know, the interesting story is how we got into this in the first place, and it reminded me of an old anecdote where in a classroom they were sort of playing a joke on a professor, and somebody went into the class ahead of time, and they said, here's what I want you to do. He's up on a stage, and they said, here's what I want you to do. The closer he gets to the front of the stage, the more attention you pay. If he walks towards the back, start looking at the ceiling, looking at your
check
watch.
Check your iPhone, right. Yeah.
Okay. By the end of the lecture, they had him standing on the front of the stage, leaning forward, almost falling off.
Okay.
And they are, of course, looking in great rapture. It's stimulus response. Joe Arpaio, way back, immigration is not his issue. He's prosecuting a guy who holds a bunch of immigrants at gunpoint, saying, listen, this is not a vigilante county. You don't get to do that. We do that. But then he started, and he just sort of did something once. He got a little bit of a, and it's sort of like the more he did it, the more approval he got, and he figured out, this works. By the way, I do want, in fairness, I want everybody to know, Joe Arpaio has been invited. I personally, on the phone, talked to him and invited him. He has an open invitation to come here anytime.
I've spoken to Joe several times. He is fun to interview.
Open. We'll give him the whole show. I didn't
get a chance to ask the guys. And by the way, that anecdote is perfect, dead on, because it's just, you get the little taste of crack. You get that little taste of the drug, and then you want
people
more
respond.
And you want more.
And if you're an elected official, and it happened with the pink underwear, he started to do stuff. I'm getting tough on the bad guys. And everybody said, yeah, they're in jail for a reason. Stick it to them.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that part of Sheriff Joe. I'll tell you that.
But so it was part of the same thing.
Sure, it was. I just didn't get to ask the guys. And I don't know if you'll know this, Doc, is this investigation part, and I think that's the biggest bombshell of this trial, was when Sheriff Joe was asked, essentially, did you investigate Judge Snow? Yes. Did you have someone following him around and do it? Yes.
Well, they had the goods on him, and they had the proof.
Has this happened?
You do not.
Not that he admitted it. Right. I just didn't know if there's any precedent that someone has done this before.
You do not investigate a federal judge.
Thank you.
Trying. There are certain things you don't do.
Sure.
You know, they say you don't spit in the wind.
Yeah, right.
Don't tug on Superman's cape.
Spit in the wind. Yeah. There we go.
There are certain things that one does not do, and investigating a federal judge who is trying you is one of them. I don't care if he is. You know, if there's something going on toward, you refer that to a third party and you let them deal with that. You don't do it yourself because it's intimidation.
But from a legal standpoint, I have to say, from a layman, from the guy on the sidelines, I have no legal mind, but I just loved the move. I thought, wow, okay, someone's thinking this through, because this can work out on so many levels for him, whether it's on appeal, whether it's as he was trying to get him kicked out, saying, hey, look, we investigate him. He didn't like that. Now he's got a vested interest in this. He needs to recuse himself from the entire trial. It was a brilliant move.
Well, except you don't get a judge to recuse himself because of something you did if they didn't do anything.
But if you can prove that he had something, that if he had now a vested interest in you, if he had a vested interest in... But I'm just saying, it seems like a
brilliant move. The analogy would be if I'm in court, okay, and things are going very badly, and I walk up to the judge and spit in his face, that doesn't cause a recusal. You know, that's what I did, you know.
Well,
It's what the judge did that is a basis. Otherwise, you could do something towards a judge anytime and get an unlimited number of mistrials.
But okay, so this is what I'm saying, genius. Now, you're talking, you can't assault a judge, obviously, because that's illegal.
Or investigate him or anything else.
You can't is that against the law? Is having a PI follow a judge, is that against the law? I don't think that's against the law.
If you are in his courtroom, you don't do that.
I'm not saying you don't do it. Is it against the law?
I don't know.
I don't think it is.
I don't know. I couldn't speak to that specifically.
Right.
But it is something clearly you don't do. But it's misconduct not of the judge, but of the person who does. If you're in it, because
it's not misconduct. Having someone follow someone is not misconduct.
If you're in his trial, that's intimidation. If he is trying you, no, that's out of line.
You have to prove it. That's why it's brilliant, because it turns the focus off the real attention, and that is the contempt.
But
of course, it's easy
to prove. You bring in the private investigator, you put him under oath, and you ask, what did you do? And he's going to tell the truth, because you're not going to lie under oath.
We would hope so. Yeah. But I still thought it was a brilliant move. I just think, whatever. If you don't like it, if you like it, who cares? I think it was a smart move.
It gives him a talking point, but I don't think it gives him a legal point.
I don't think he's running again. I've got to say this. I don't think he's running for his. I think he is going to say, you know what? He'll do it in his own way. It'll probably be a parade in his very own honor. But he will say, I've cost the taxpayers too much money. I'm going to step down.
I tell you one other thing that I know that leads me to believe this is serious. The U.S. Attorney's Office has somebody from Tucson, because if they would handle it, they'd do it from Tucson. Observing this trial, I think they think a criminal.
Yeah, I think it's coming down. I think it's big thanks to Rick Romley and Paul Charlton. Big thanks to you, Doc, for setting it all up. And once again, heck of a show. Thanks
Great
for
guest.
Joining us. Thanks for spending some time with us right here on the Think Tank, KTAR News.